Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 44. Today is Friday, May 2nd, 2008. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 44. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. The song you just heard was the Songbird Symphony, Borodin's romantic theme from Prince Igor. Beautiful. I love the birds. When I was in Arizona, that was one of the things that I really appreciated the most was early in the morning, the birds were just singing. I think that's one of the things about living in the cold north country during winter is that you don't hear any birds or any wildlife for that matter. Everything is in the frozen tundra. And so it's just really great to hear them again. Spring is really in the air. Doing any spring cleaning? I did some spring cleaning, cleaned my office and organizing and all of that. So that is always, I do enjoy that though. I like reorganizing and kind of getting things. That way I can kind of get things in my mind, how to organize and how to move forward in different areas. If you've gone to the website, which is www.pastorpaul.org, you'll notice that we did a little spring cleaning there as well. Currently, we have a one-page website, soon to be more pages that have more static pages, I should say, that have information about Pastor Paul's mission, which is a free food distribution to the needy. And again, if you go to the website, which is www.pastorpaul.org, you'll see a huge, very large line of people waiting in line to get groceries for our holiday giveaway that took place in 1993 at Thanksgiving. And that was an incredible day. And you'll see, if you go to the website, you'll see the people's faces and they're all anticipating such a huge giveaway. And at this point, we had been doing this for a few years and so we kind of had it down, so to speak, you know. As a matter of fact, I was looking back and we started those holiday giveaways in November of 1984, and we actually stopped doing the holiday giveaways. It was Easter of 1994, so there were 10 full years of those giveaways. And each year, we tweaked it a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and we learned how people should line up, how to do fencing, how to send out the different flyers, and just all of these things that you learn as you go. And I want to say one thing, though. North Minneapolis is, has had some issues with regard to crime and everything, and I don't want to go into all of that. But having said that, I just want you to know that for all of the giveaways that we had, which were about 30, we never had one security person ever. There was never one fight or never any negative, nothing. It was always really positive. And what I'm trying to say is that the Spirit of the Lord was in the holiday giveaways. And that's what made them such a success. And I was the person that was in charge of doing the PR, you might say, or whatever you would call it, maybe marketing the event or whatever. And basically what I remember doing is taking a black magic marker and faxing a who, what, where, why, when to all of the television stations and the local newspapers, and they would all show up. Just, you know, they would be there. Why? Was it because I had experience in public relations or media or any of that? No, nothing like that. It was like I said, I used a black magic marker. Who, poor people, where, Pastor Paul's mission, when, the time, what'll be happening. We'll be giving away 5,000 grocery bags to 5,000 people in from 12 o'clock until 5 o'clock. Well, they were all there. Why? Because it was an incredible, incredible operation. And so, you know, if you have something worth seeing like that, people are going to show up, whether you have a scripted press release or a black magic marker. Anyway, so that's one of the little stories of our big giveaway. So we're using that picture as a kind of a jumping off spot for the website. So we are going to be creating, or I should say, using some of the static pages we already have that tell a little bit about the actual free food distribution. But one thing right now, if you go there, you'll see there are links, direct links to the blog, the podcast, to Twitter, Flickr, and eventually the store. And so that's what we're really excited about, are the interactive links to all of these programs, or I should say applications, that we are using to help build our online community, which we want you to be a part of. And along with that, we'll have other applications for you to be able to get involved. And that's what it's all about, for you to get involved with Pastor Paul's mission in some way, shape, or form in the future. So the message today, to gain, is about Paul. And Paul, for those of you who aren't familiar with the scriptures, in the New Testament, the first four books are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, written by, they are all about the Lord and about the gospel. They're called the four gospels. Well, after the books after that have to do with letters written by different people, revelations. The book Acts is the immediate book following the four gospels. And in the Acts, Paul, the conversion of Paul, who was Saul, takes place. And I'm going to be putting that in the show notes, and that's going to be located at the blog. I'm going to actually put the total conversion of Paul, which is so incredible, where Paul was called on the road to Damascus. And that is going to be in Acts 9, 1 through 19. So I'm just going to use that. Now, I have been putting synopsis of the people about the cross, these faces about the cross, and from the book Jesus Loved Them. So now this message will be using just the straight out of the book, the scriptures, to describe what Paul went through. Basically, Paul was a Pharisee who hated Jews who knew the Lord and who followed the Lord, the disciples and followers. And he persecuted them and was involved in heavily killing them, actually, or was with them when they were killed. And so this conversion is critical. Pastor Paul's message, To Gain, talks about Paul, or he talks about to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's a really, really good message, and it just lays out the whole thing for a Christ-like life. And Paul, what he went through, it's just really good. So that's all. I just want you to listen to that. We have one more message regarding the faces about the cross, which Sunday is the last one, and that the last is called Steadfast, and that's Jesus. So I hope you have enjoyed these. I hope you've gotten a lot out of them as I have. And without further ado, this is To Gain.
Today's message is entitled To Gain. We've been ministering about people at the cross for 3 months now. Today we'll look at a man who was not seen at the cross, and yet in a most profound sense, he had seen it. Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In fact, this man in the Bible claims that he has been crucified with him who died upon the cross. He's writing this letter from a cell. Here we have the picture. We have Paul, and he's in jail. It's dark, it's dreary, something like today, and damp and cold. And soon he will stand trial before Nero. He also knows that soon these cell doors are going to squeak open. And He imagines the footsteps of the guards as they come in, the steps coming down the corridor. He imagines the jangle of the keys. To say the very least, he is very expectant. How many know how it is to be expectant? Maybe you've known that when you're waiting for someone to come. You're waiting for something to happen in your life that might turn it all around. Might be a bright beginning, it might be the end. You're waiting. And every noise that you hear, you think this is it. He also knows that he will walk two roads, one of two roads. There is, of course, the possibility of a not guilty verdict coming in, and he entertains that thought. I think we all would. And he thinks, well, then I'll head back to my greatly beloved friends in Philippi. Now I'll have roast lamb. Now I'll have me a big platter of pita bread, some nice Greek olives and some feta cheese. Oh, I can smell it and I can taste it now. And so he entertains those thoughts. How many know that you entertain those thoughts when you're in a crisis situation? He knows that his many friends will be waiting for him. I thank my God, he says, upon every remembrance of you. Remember that in the Bible? I call God to witness how greatly I long after you. And so joy and eagerness fill him in this dark, dank, damp prison. It sort of warms him right where he's at. Well, it could be not guilty, he thinks. Yeah, it could be. That wouldn't be all bad, would it? How many know those thoughts are running through his mind? I know they are. Then again, the prison doors may open to another road. He may be found guilty. He also entertains that thought. He knows it will be a short road to the executioner's block, that his head will fall into a basket. He thinks this could happen. So he has mixed thoughts. Believe me, folks, expectations, when they come from both extremes, for most of us, is stress plus. In some cases, it's too much. It could be this way, it could be a beginning, or it could be a definite end. And it says in the end that men's hearts will fail, people in business and people in got money and people are out there and they have all the stocks and bonds and all that, and either they're way over here, they're really going to make it, or they're going to break it. And the pressures that are on people right now on these very extremes, the hoping for this and hoping against that, sometimes it's almost too much. Anyway, it's interesting to see how Paul faces up to such crisis. I think he's a model for us all in this end time. He realizes death is probably very close at hand, and he also knows sooner or later it's going to happen anyway. And so I thought to myself, in what spirit does he meet this ugly fact? Not with trembling knees. The Bible doesn't point to any of that. There is no terror in his eyes. There is no gauntness in his face, and the color is still there. And he is done, but ignoring the fact that death does come. He doesn't try to shy away. Well, it isn't going to come. He doesn't altogether say it won't come. I think this attitude is common today, isn't it? Some flatly refuse to look at the experience of death at least as a part of life. I'll just ignore it and it'll go away. I'll just comb my hair from my ear all the way over and just pretend like I haven't lost my hair, you know, whatever. Mirror doesn't lie, folks. Death is marching on. Well, they say time marches on. You remember that? Yeah, it does. No, he doesn't have that attitude. I don't think that's too intelligent anyway for someone to think, well, hey, I don't think I'll ever die. Well, a lot of times people think that. We do it sometimes. We just don't ignore the fact. But we've all seen our loved ones disappear, haven't we? Well, haven't they? Brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles and bosses and so on. Wouldn't you think by now that we would recognize that death is a fact? In fact? We've seen people disappear right in front of our faces. And we've heard many say, if I had my life to live over, I'd... How many have said that? If I had my life to live over, I'd... Well, sure, you can always find something wrong with your life. Right? You can always say, if I had my life to live over... I, for one, don't want too many. I would have done this or that different if I knew I was going to die in my book. I don't want too many of those. They'll be there, but I don't want too many of them. I think the very reason that those who seek to ignore the fact of death is because they have fear. I think such fear is very evident right down here on the north side. I'm talking about raw fear. Not only here, but I have to deal with where I'm at right now. People just don't walk the streets. On Halloween, there was nobody out there. And if they did, they had an armed guard with them almost. We're talking serious fear here in the United States. Where you dance and stand out on a street corner, you might get shot down. We're talking about an end to a way of life in all of the ghettos, and in South America, this is the same thing. Talking about taking away a person's livelihood, drugs. And that end comes, and the person's been taking care of Aunt Emma and buying this for the little brother and this for the little sister and so on like that. I mean, it's a hard thing to say, but it actually was raising funds for people in homes in a very hellish way. There is a fear of that thing leaving. And so now we got trouble right down here in River City. Yeah, we do. When the screws start to tighten, the screws. Okay? Now, you can face that one way, and you can face it another way. You can run away, or you can stay right where you're at. Go to the people that have the power, the legislatures, and say, we need jobs. Now, we're not talking about something in the distant future. We're talking about like the earthquake that happened out here in Frisco area. They just wrote a check out and sent it right away. Okay, now. I'm talking about fear. But Paul, then, is not afraid. I think he's going to be our model. Oh, I'm sure he had some fear, but it wasn't spelled with a large F. It was contributive. It was fear harnessed to a constructive end, so it was constructive. It was gospelized. The power of the gospel was in it. It was there, but faith overcame the fear because it was constructive. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am more than an overcomer through Christ. I'm talking about the gospel. Who, what? Strengthens me. And in my weakness, my strength is made perfect. Because it's His strength coming into your weakness. And it gives you the power to overcome. So the fear is there, but the fear factor isn't as great. It's a small F. Because it can become constructive. And right now, when we're facing those things right down here, with no money, with old trucks, with little or no salaries, it's the time for that fear to become constructive. Turn the thing around. Say, yes, I'm a bit anxious, but and again, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. In all things, in prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known unto God. I have a request. I have some binding to do and some loosing to do. Now's the time not to falter or fall or get into the wimpyism. It's a time for definite action. And I love to read this about Paul right here. It just thrills my heart because the fear didn't control him. I mean, when fear becomes your master, it becomes fearsome. It becomes the leader, the master over all of your emotions. It controls your eating. No, I'm not hungry. No, I got a stomachache. Oh, I got a headache. You're sleeping and you sleep with it. You try to sleep with it, but oh, it's jabbing you in the gut all night long. Controls your walking, so you can't even walk straight. And you're seeing, you can't even see, horns are beeping. Bah, beep, beep, what's wrong with you? And you're hearing, and you're smelling, and your decisions, your thoughts, your life. It takes over. Sort of promenades around you. Two steps around you and taunts you. Jesus said, fear not. 1 Chronicles 28 and 20. Be strong, take heart, and do it. The eternal, your God, is with you. Ooh, that'll send a shiver up your spine. Nice to know that the Lord is with you, the eternal, when you have to scale the capital steps or you have to speak out. Nice to know that, isn't it? And so Paul does not face the prospect of death with terror, no more than he is eager for it. You know, there's people that are eager for death, but it's because they're fearful. No, I wish it was over. Oh, my God, I wish it was over. And we all have those thoughts, don't we? How many of you have that thought, you wish it was over? Praise God, it's only temporary. We have less people than we have in here right now. No, I think a man that's eager to die is a man that's very much afraid. Wants a way out. Afraid of life. Afraid of making those decisions. Somebody's got to be stuck with decisions, don't they? I wonder sometimes why we don't make it easy on people that have to make decisions. Huh? People that we're working for and so on like that, and we never take into account that they got all of these things to think about, and yet we want to be a little nerd and then just not listen. Huh? Wonder why that is. Well, maybe you'll say, if I had my life to live over, I wouldn't cause my boss to have a heart attack. No, Paul wasn't afraid of this road or that road. He wasn't afraid of either way. If they free me, he thinks, it's a roast leg of lamb and some pita bread and olives. And on with the gospel. Now head back to Philippi and back to work on the road again. I know I'm going to get on the road again, huh? That then again, if I die, it's something better. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Hey, we're going to have to come to that. As the world gets into a more miserable downhill, sad state of affairs, we are going to have that. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Or maybe you can't face that possibility. I mean, I'm talking about it could happen situations. You know that it could happen situations, that thought, can cause you to have almost a nervous breakdown. It could happen, you think. Your thinking could cause you to have a nervous breakdown. It's time now to shore up your faith, to get your eyes fastened on the Lord Jesus Christ and what's at hand. I'd say that his faith is worth having, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want to possess a faith like that? To be able to look both life and death in the face without fear. Not only that, but with a high and joyous expectations. What a gift. I thought about Paul's life here. Well, what did he really have? I mean, he was stoned and shipwrecked and flogged and spit on and snake bit. Of course, I started thinking about the snake that bit him. I thought, well, he had been bitten by so many religious vipers, probably, that he was immune. Insulted and slandered and imprisoned and cold and miserable and hungry, I think some would choose death right away. But you see, Paul knew that whatever the future may hold, even if it comes to nothing, we all hope that our future comes to something, but he had the secret. He knew that even if it comes to nothing, he had a faith that made him appreciate the what? The now. What's the Bible say? Bible says, now faith is. I'm talking about in the future. It isn't complimenting you on what you had before. It's talking about right now. And so whether his faith guarantees the future or not, it certainly guarantees the present. Listen to these brave words. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is. So he's living grandly right now. I mean, what's your condition? I'm not talking about before you came or what you're thinking about after you leave, because every minute is not your own. How are you feeling right now? You breathing okay? In, out, in, out, in, out. Your ears working all right? I'm talking about right now. Don't get off into there or off into that or this, huh? How are you feeling right now? You got a tummy? Is anybody in here got a stomach ache? No. Anyone here got an earache? Boy, that's terrible, isn't it? No. You don't have to get on a kidney machine? Well, hey. You're not on furlough from an iron lung. You're not in jail. It doesn't look like anyone is really starving to death. I mean, let's talk about right now. How are you feeling right now? It's thinking about, gee, golly, well, gee, it was better then. No, you just think it was better then. It was miserable then. Because you've always been a miserable person, don't you see? Isn't that the way we are? We start to thinking about ourselves, it was this way, and it's going to be, the future. Sometimes that can defeat you because you're not taking that one. How are you feeling right now? Now, you're responsible in some way of how you feel right now, right? And then again, you're responsible to other people too. Yeah, you are. Just the way you feel and what you're doing right now affects people. It affects you and it affects everybody else. But see, that was the secret to Paul's life. He was dealing with right now.
Well, look what they did to me. And I remember back then when I was coming down and I got knocked off my high horse there on the Damascus Road and stuff. Hey, I don't think it was worth it. I went through all these different things and now here I am.
No, he was enjoying right now. Isn't that possible? No, I'm talking about 5 minutes. I'm talking about right now. Can you just stop right now and make up your mind you're going to enjoy right now? I mean, if we did that minute by minute, and the alcoholics do that, one day at a time. Right? Can you live more than 5 minutes at a time? I mean, aren't you glad right now for your life? No, don't think about after you get out of here, or the argument you had before you came. Now, can you be responsible for having a good time for 1 minute? I mean, think on these things that are good and pure for 1 minute. Can you give God 1 minute of your time to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and have a good time right now? 1 full minute, 60 seconds. See, people, when they go out and they go places and they predetermine they're going to have a lousy time. Ever been out with somebody and they predetermine they're going to have a lousy time and then you try to make them happy? Huh? And you look over and smile at them. Wasn't that funny? Wasn't it? Oh, no, they're dead. Have you ever spent a whole night with someone like that? And they can't be happy. Well, you need to tell them, will you give me 5 minutes of happiness? Yeah. Just give me 5 minutes. And then maybe they'll enjoy it a little bit and they'll go to the next 5 minutes. Start out with 30 seconds. I mean, okay. Smile for 30 seconds. It's just as easy to smile as it is to frown and complain, isn't it? Isn't it? You ever been around somebody like that, kids, that's just totally miserable and they're going to make you miserable too? Have you? No way. Don't let it happen to you. Because you are responsible for you right now. Now faith is. It's not talking about building up some kind of faith. You can't build up faith. Man, if that was the case, I wouldn't be afraid to do anything on all the little faith moves I've had. I've stored it up. I go to the the faith bank and draw them out. No! No, you only get a little mustard seed every day. It's now faith. You can't store it up. You can't learn yourself into it. You can't teach. Oh, what a man of faith. No, it's right now. That's what keeps you happy is now. Well, stop breathing for 2 minutes. You appreciate life. Sir, you here in the front seat. Yes, you. I want you to take a deep breath. Now I want you to hold it for as long as you can. Okay? Go. Sir, you're turning all red. Don't be stubborn now. Sir, sir. Sir. Sir, your eyes are bugging out of your head and your veins are popping. Sir. Are you glad to be breathing again, sir? Yes. Hey, you're going to be happy if it's taken from you right now. And your life is not your own. It can be taken at any time. Appreciate right now. Right now. Well, you don't know what I have to face. I'm not talking about what you have to face. You're facing 30 seconds of your life. This is your life. You ever see that program? This is your life. And the guys would just turn. They're afraid somebody come out and say something about them. Forgetting those things that are past. Please, please. But why can Paul face both life and death in this very joyous and courageous fashion? Why is it that he can look at the grave and say, to me, to die is gain? I think we have a problem here, don't we? See, it's all in where our values are at, isn't it? What do you value in your life? Oh God, if we could all start to value one another, there wouldn't be any problems. We don't value one another. We value me. Oh, me. I love you so much. Oh, me. And you know what? You always let yourself down. Don't you? Why? Because you can't be happy for 30 seconds at a time. No way. Well, suppose that our values are all wrapped up in material things. Well, then you couldn't say, like Paul, for me to live is Christ. You'd say, for me to live is money. Right? Isn't that pretty shallow? For me to live is money. Well, isn't that true about a lot of us? Isn't it? Well then, if that's true, then to die is no gain to you, because then you have to leave everything behind. You can't take it with you. If you could take everything with you, you know what? Your relatives would kill you again. Hang me once and hang me twice and hang me once again, huh? No, then it's not gain, is it? You remember in the Bible, the rich farmer that said, well, my barns are full. I'll have to build another, bigger, better barn. That'll just be a substation over there. We get an overflow and go into the bigger barn. So he ended up having full barns and an empty heart. I bet there was a lot of 4x4 pickups over there after that he died, though, picking up grain. Huh? How many know they're over there? Back it up. Back up your truck. Huh? And they were chucking that green in there as fast as they could shovel with them big old coal shovels. Because he couldn't take it with him. No, he had to leave it all behind. You wonder about billionaires. They got to leave it all behind. And don't get on to billionaires, because some people, they hide a quarter and won't separate with that either. They just pinch that quarter, boy. Ooh. How about for me to live is pleasure? Yeah, that's kind of what I want. I want cars, I want men, I want women, I want food, I want trips, I want clothes, I want entertainment, I want to be entertained. About the most boring people in the world are those that are always looking to be entertained. Huh? They're always looking to be entertained. Instead of doing anything constructive, they're just sitting around waiting to be entertained. Huh? Hey, buddy. I used to see that sometimes. And I love to have when they have concerts. But a lot of those things, if you keep your eyes open, a lot of, you know, the concerts where all the Christians go to the concerts. And they come running. Hi, Joe. Hi, Sally. Hi, Mary. Hi. Praise God. Hello. Hi. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Born, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hi, Mary. Hi, Pete. It's a social thing. Huh? And no more. And they sit down, and the singer's going to it, and they're all talking, snapping a gum out there, and they're just, oh my, I mean, you know what I mean? Then as soon as they have an altar call, I'll think, where do you go? We're going over to Perkins. Where are you guys going to go? And then they pass it on. Perkins, 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 Perkins. Where's the name of Jesus in this thing? When they have an altar call, they're all sitting over here at Perkins. Sorry, folks, I can't join in on all that. Not that I'm a stick in the mud or anything like that. But I think that there's got to be a purpose in it, or what's the purpose? Right? Hi, Mary. Hi, John. One time I was doing a big meeting, and there was so much commotion going on from everybody appreciating each other. Huh? Oh, we appreciate you so much. You do, praise God. We appreciate you, brother. Brother. And then they'd stand up, the ones that were in the front row, they'd stand up so everybody could kind of see them, you know, and they'd be talking. Oh. Oh, yes, yes. And then look around, see who's watching. Now, I've set the scene. When you go to one of these things, it's going to kind of ruin your time when you're watching all these big folks out there just kind of appreciating each other. We appreciate you. Huh? I right in the middle of all that, there was about 1,200 people at the assembly. I said, I would appreciate if you people would sit down. I mean, we're talking shocked faces. You shouldn't be able to talk that way. What kind of a Christian attitude is that anyway? Huh? Well, I don't care what kind it was. I just wanted to sit down. Well, it wasn't Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Was it? Heavenly Christians, we appreciate you. Huh? I mean, the world is going to hell. And we're so busy appreciating you. We appreciate you. That's fine. How about helping out once in a while? Appreciation doesn't mean a thing if you ain't going to put something behind it. And so then death is no gain here either for the person that to live. My life would be pleasure, that for me to live pleasurably. Well, then, to whom then is death gain? Only for those to whom life means what it did to Paul. Isn't that only common sense, though? Think about it. Death has no power over character. Can't touch a person's character. That's just like the natural sleep. People go to bed rotten. How do you suppose they wake up? You know, if a rotten person goes to bed, do you think they wake up? Sweet? No, they wake up rotten. And probably meaner. Huh? Do you suppose if a crook went to bed, he'd wake up less crooked? Or a selfish person went to bed, they'd wake up less selfish? No, I think life is really like the garment of Jesus, all in one. It's woven into one piece. Death has no magical power. It won't change our character. Although we like to brag about those that are dead, we know they were scoundrels. He wasn't a bad guy. Some bad, some good, not all bad. It doesn't have a magical power, does it, death? Doesn't change your character one bit. If death had that kind of power to make a selfish, stingy, mean, evil man into a good man, well, then again, it might help also and have the power of making an unselfish and beautiful soul into a rotten one. No, death doesn't change anything. No. See, when you cash in, you know what you're going to face? You're going to face the CHA, the Certified Heavenly Accountant. You all have to face the accountant. What did you do when he opened up the books? Now, I'm not talking about salvation now. That is a rich, free gift that you all get, that all that receive him. I'm talking about how are your books going to line up when the audit comes, when the adding machine, brum, 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 brum. Boy, that'd make you nervous when they run out that long tape. There's a lot of zeros on it. Zero. Love people, zero. Love self, 100%. Huh? All those will be in red ink. Hey, think about it. Everybody is going to have to, the Bible says, make an account.
Well, do you think that people will get into heaven and...
They'll get in there if they've accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, but they're going to still have to make an account. They're going to have to go through as if by fire. Some of them are going to come out with one burnt hair and smoking tennis shoes and a diaper on and smoking. That's it. Because they didn't do anything for anybody but complain and cause problems. And, there are troublemakers around, aren't there? Man, oh man, they just love to get things going. And then they stand off behind a bush and sort of like, what is that, Snidely Whiplash or whatever his name was? Huh? Well, who's watching you behind that bush? Not President Bush. The Lord. No, death has no magic to it, none whatsoever. Values that really count down here will count also up throughout eternity. And so it is therefore only those who can say, for me to live is Christ, that can add that final word, to die is gain. He was saying, there is no question I can't answer about myself and Jesus Christ. Because we're, so to speak, one and the same. fire spirit. And so when he said, for me to live is Christ, he meant Christ is the author of my life, the author and the finisher of my life, the Bible says. I was dead before I was born again. He was thinking back probably some 30 years ago to the Damascus Road. He was on his way to kill the Jews. And in the very next breath, do you remember? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The very next word. I mean, he was doing what he was going to kill the other people for. He was calling Jesus Lord. So he was saved. He was saved and he belonged to the church before he reached Damascus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And just before that, he had a dagger in his mouth and was riding that old camel or horse or whatever. Jump on that camel and ride, huh? He did an attitude change, didn't he? Because you see, Paul was always earnest and he was always sincere. He was sincere about killing Jews. But then he reckoned, it says the Bible, that life had really begun for him when he met Christ on that desert road. How many can relate with that? I can. But your life really started when you met Jesus Christ. Forgetting, the Bible says, those things that are past, passing forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ, the Bible says. Gladly, I say. Good riddance, says I. But it was here, as we read it, that Paul was reborn. And it was here that, through faith in Christ, he became to possess what the New Testament calls the eternal life. And so people argue over that. What is eternal life and how do you have it? And do you have life eternal after you receive eternal life? Well, I mean, you know, and they can argue forever. By this, we don't mean so much the quantity, but the quality of life. A life that only comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the quality of life. Because we know we have the quantity of life. It's eternal. He that hath the Son, the Bible says, and what a quality, royal quality. John says it, hath life. I am, Jesus says, the resurrection and the life. You're looking at it. This is life eternal, the Bible says. And Jesus goes on, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And so we find God through Jesus Christ, we find eternal life, and there's no other way that you can find it. That's the only way you can have life. By finding life through the Son, we know God. When Paul said, for me to live is Christ, he meant that for him to live was to reproduce Christ. That's what we're to be doing, isn't it? Reproduce Christ. We are to reproduce in some manner of form, some kind of works, the virtues of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the feeding of the poor and the visiting of the hungry and the sick and the prisoners and the widows and forgiving 70 times 7, the Bible says. I was reading a story sometime back about a missionary who was traveling in China. And this is way back. He started to tell people about Jesus. And he did this and he did that. And much to his amazement, the people says, well, we know him. Well, you know what had happened was they led him to a grave of a physician there that had done all those Christ-like things. Well, there he is right there, the very man you're talking about. Well, they were right. That man was Christ-like. He was representing Jesus Christ and doing the gospel, living 1 minute at a time. Also, Paul meant by this that Christ was the aim, Christ was the motive, the goal in his life. And all that he really had to please was Christ. And that his only purpose and his only passion was to lay hold of that which he had been laid hold of by Christ. To be Christ. To be Christ-like. But what things were gained to me, he says, that I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them refuse, dung, that I may win Christ. So he was always going to win the race. He was always going to win the affections of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that's what it means. That all that life meant to me, Paul was saying, is summed up in Christ. That is the issue. Life or death isn't the issue. Christ is the issue. And so for people like this, and I hope that we in some measure can attain that. All things of the here and the hereafter, the Bible says, work together for good. In closing, I thought, well, how do you comment on something like that? What were the gains to Paul? What did he expect beyond death? Well, he expected a more intimate fellowship with Christ, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, he says. I expect myself to join all the different people I have known in my lifetime that have died, and even if I forgot them, all things will be brought onto my remembrance by the Holy Spirit. And those that I really knew, like my parents, I expect to see all them. I expect to join them. I expect to visit with Moses and Elijah, David, Jesus. Plus, I will be going home. I go to prepare a place for you, the Bible says. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I also look forward to no aches and no pains, and I put my order in for a 7-foot-tall body with a lot of hair. No lies. No deceiving. I went by a place on 55. It says, happy hour. So that's why everybody goes in and gets happy. See? Huh? I was just driving by and I seen one guy come sailing out of there backwards. Somebody must have hit him in the face because he would come sailing out the door. Oh, happy days. Happy days are here again, huh? And I thought to myself, boy, I guess that's a happy hour, all right, but a lot of them will get picked up by the highway patrol. That'll be the end of that. Bible says we will have joy unspeakable and full of plenty for an eternity. Let me read in closing something out of Psalm 37 and 4. Make the eternal your delight, and he will give you all your heart's desire. Think about that. Can you think about that for 30 seconds? And don't think about nothing else. Can you think about that right now? Make your eternal your delight. And do that for like 30 seconds at a time. And grow in that. And he will give you all your heart's desire. You get so full of Christ when you think about Christ and what you can do to gain Christ, the more that you just get full. And then people will say, well, there's something Christ-like about that person. Yeah, people say that. That's the end of my message, but boy, I think we're really facing people an hour where we need to have that type of faith. I'll live, but then to die is gain. So it doesn't matter. It isn't that. But appreciating Christ is what it's all about. And you appreciate him. It isn't appreciate. Brother, I so appreciate you. It isn't that. You can appreciate people to death. You know what I mean? But they're only just people. Start appreciating the Lord, and you'll appreciate what he tells you to do. And we all got something to do. Oh, every one of us. There's no excuse for not doing it. Okay, is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Just put up your hand and get saved in a matter of 30 seconds.